1 Corinthians chapter number 11 tonight. Good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Turn on my mic real quick now that the message is starting, Joe. All right. You good? You happy back there? All right. Praise the Lord. I believe this with all my heart, that if you're faithful doing what God has told you to do, He blesses in ways you could never expect. In that, yesterday I was out with a couple of our teenage boys going door to door, and it felt like nobody was making it. Joe, it didn't feel like a good, I don't know. They weren't mean, but it was a little more well-to-do area, and they were all set. That's what they would say. And man, you walk away from that a little kind of like, I wonder how this goes. And I've seen it time and time and time again. You're faithful with doing what God has told you to do. And He just brings these blessings in back door. And man, my dad and stepmom came to church this morning. And I don't know. That was a blessing to see. Ron, did you know about that? I didn't know about that. And they didn't tell anybody. They just showed up. They showed up for Sunday school. So I'm teaching a parenting class with my dad sitting in the class. And then they stayed for worship service. My dad, when he crosses the Genesee River and comes on the west side, he says he starts getting itchy, like hives and things. So to be on this side of town for 2.5 hours in church, man, praise the Lord. That was a blessing. That was a real blessing. And we're praying that God used His word in their hearts. And thankful for that. Good to see Ethan with us tonight. It's been a little bit. I'm glad to have him here tonight. We've had Josh visiting with us on Sunday mornings. And he's tied to the fire department over there. And thankful for that. Tonight is a special night, as you can see. We have the elements out here, and you know, you may ask yourself, why do we still do this? I mean, Jesus Christ died on the cross. This is not for salvation. This eating of the elements of here, we have crackers. They're saltine crackers. You can buy them at Tops. They're nothing special of themselves. The liquid that's in here is grape juice. Again, Topps brand grape juice. So what makes this time so special? Why do we do this? Why do we do this 3-4 times a year? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why do believers observe the Lord's Supper? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I do not expect it to be a terribly long message, but a pointed message. In verse 24 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and we'll revisit these verses later on. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we pray that this will be our last time to partake of this Lord's Supper, that God, you would come back and call us home to you. God, thank you for another opportunity. And God, our desire here today is just to remember, Lord, to take to heart that sacrifice that you made. God, celebrate our eternal life. Lord, we sure do appreciate all that you went through. The suffering, the hurt, the torments, the separation between you and the Father. Thank you. God, thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, help us not to just get over this service, but truly consider every aspect of it. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do it in remembrance. It's to remember. It's to speak of things. You know, this Saturday, Teddy, this Saturday, birthday extravaganza. Going over and we're having mac and, do you know what we're having? Okay, this is, okay, mac and cheese. I didn't know if it was a surprise. Mac and cheese, we're having sausage, ice cream cake. Why? Because we want to remember the day that this world got a whole lot better and Teddy came in. And we do it every year. We're going to do it every year. Husband, you, wife, you try and you skip an anniversary. See how well that goes. Why do you do that? To remember. To remember. God said the purpose of this is to remember what he did for us. That we never get over it, that we keep talking about it. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. In verse 28, it says this, for this is the, as he, I guess you can look at verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many, for many, for the remission of sins. Hey, we want to remember that shed blood. In here, it's not blood. It doesn't turn to blood. It doesn't, Brother Perry, it doesn't miraculously become the blood of Christ and save our soul. It's just to remember. It's to remind us of what Christ went through for that eternal gift of salvation. I was praying with Hudson tonight. And we were just thanking God. Thanking God for what he went through for us. This was a one-time sacrifice. Christ died on the cross one time, and he paid for the sin of all mankind. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. If you were to ask what is the book of Hebrews about, it's Isaiah, it's about Christ being better. He's better than everything. Here, it's talking of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 11, but Christ, here's the comparison, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How many times did he have to go in? Just one time. How many times did they have to offer the offering of atonement? Every year. And that would work for a year, but oh, that would wear away and they would need to do that again. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Man, how great. Hey, yeah, the Old Testament was awesome and all. And that did great. That did a great job covering our sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, one time, was enough to pay the eternal penalty of our sin. Hey, we owed something that we could not pay. And Christ came through and he died on the cross and he presented us with a gift to have that debt paid. Not just covered, but it is gone. It is gone. Look at this in verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Man, what a great promise. Hey, what do we have to remember? The day Christ died on the cross and gave us the greatest gift ever given, eternal life. Paid in full, Brother Van, paid in full. Full atonement, can it be to remember the past? This past week on Friday, we had a day off from school. I think banks are closed, right, on Veterans Day? The garbage man still came. I don't know. I don't know what's closed and what's not. Post office was closed, Mr. Buck, right? Why? Because we wanted to remember some things. We want to remember those that served in our United States military. Some things that happened in the past. And every November 11th, we celebrate that here. Who knows for how long? You never know with this government. But Christ says, God says, I want you to do this. I want you to do this in remembrance of me, to celebrate something in the past. Number two, go with me to Matthew chapter number 26. To celebrate something in the future. Matthew chapter number 26. We just read verse 28. Let's look at verse 29. Matthew 26, 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Anticipating, he was talking to the disciples, anticipating a special time that they would celebrate together. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Look, till he come. We do this until Jesus comes. And so every time we think, hey, this could be the last time. This could be the last Lord's Supper. Next time, we'll do it together in the kingdom, the new kingdom together. Man, I don't know if it's going to be unleavened bread. I don't know if it's going to be Topps grape juice. I don't know what's up there. But look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter number 19. In anticipation of the future, to remember the past, to anticipate the future. Revelation chapter 19, let's look at verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We looked at that verse this morning. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Hey, there's something coming. This is a little taste of something to come. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We know that that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Hey, there's a marriage supper coming. And I look forward to that day. Wouldn't it be wonderful not just talking about Jesus, but being able to see Jesus? Seated at the head of that table, the Lamb. And there we have a supper. Man, I look forward to being with him. The anticipation of the Lord's return, of us being called out to heaven. And I'm going to ask you a real pointed question. If that were today, are you ready? You know, there's a lot of events that go on, and maybe some of you went to that pilgrim play over at First Bible, and you need a ticket to get in. But the tickets are free. It's kind of like heaven. Well, you need a ticket to get in. Well, how do I get? How much does it cost? Well, nothing. It's free. Salvation's free for you and I. It doesn't cost. We don't have to spend 1 minute on a cross. We don't have to shed one drop of blood for us. Jesus Christ did all that. So if that trumpet blew today, do you know for sure? Are you looking forward to the Lord calling us home? Hey, things are going to get, you think things are crazy now, Benjamin. Imagine when the rapture of the church happens and he calls all the saints out. I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago. They said this. In Monroe County, I think 19% of people, so about 1 million people, I think it's 900,000 people, live in Monroe County. Maybe 800,000. But 19% go to church. That's scary.
Yes, sir.
Whether it they just don't see the need, whatever it may be, there's some people that if this were to end right now, I understand coming to church doesn't save anybody. But it sure is evident that the Lord has done a work in your life. As a Christian, you know where I want to be on Sunday? With the saints worshiping together under the preaching of the Word of God. That's where I want to be. That's where you ought to be. Hey, there's a lot of people that could care less about what that Bible says today. And if that trumpet blew and this thing ended right now, where are you going to be? That's a serious question you need to answer for yourself. You need to ask, as the Lord asks that question, how do you respond to God? Say, well, I need to appease my parents. I need to appease the pastor. You don't need to appease anybody. You need to appease the Lord himself. So I'm working on my salvation. You're not working on your salvation. It's been paid for. It is free. You can't earn it. Well, if my good outweighs my bad, that's not how it works. Christ says, you need to believe in me. Jesus Christ. So do you anticipate the Lord's return? Why do we observe the Lord's Supper? Number one, to remember the past. Number two, to anticipate the future. Getting excited about that. As we look down the calendar a little bit, starting to get a little excited around the house. Grandparents are calling. Can you send us the kids' lists, right? Kids up here are rubbing their hands like this. They're excited about, they're anticipating a future event. Hey, every Christian, oh, today could be the day. This could be the last Lord's Supper. This could be, next time we'll be face to face with the Lamb, dressed in righteousness. Oh, I hope so. I hope so. To remember the past, to anticipate the future. Hey, if you're not ready for that, that's not what you're hoping for. You don't want this thing to end. We play board games at our house, and the person that's winning wants the game to end. Why? Because they're ahead. But if you're losing, you want that thing to go on. Hey, get your salvation settled tonight. If you're in here tonight and you don't know for sure, my calendar's clear. I'll change whatever it is to talk with you about eternity because there's nothing more important. Nothing more important. To remember the past, to anticipate the future. And then, how about this? The life in between those two things. To participate right now. Go back to 1 Corinthians. No, go to John chapter 19. Why do we do this? Well, number one, to remember. Number two, to anticipate. Number three, to participate. This affirms our faith. In a few moments, we're going to open these containers up, and within one is some unleavened bread, symbolizing the body of Christ. And the other is a little bit of grape juice, 100% grape juice, symbolizing the blood of Christ. And I'm not ashamed that this is online. I'm not ashamed that people see this. Hey, I want to be identified with Jesus. This affirms my faith. I want everyone to know that He's my Savior. And I'm taking time out of my life, out of my day, and we're celebrating what He did on the cross for us. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. To participate. He invites us to participate in that. To celebrate his completed work. Look at John chapter 19. Look at verse 30. 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said this, "It is finished." Hey, nothing else was needed of what he did on the cross. It's like, hold on a second, we got to do a couple more things, or you need to know. It's it. It was finished. Paid in full. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Number one, to remember the past. Number two, to anticipate the future. Number three, to participate in the present. John chapter 5 and verse 36, it says this, "But I have greater witness than that of John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. The works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Christ finished it, completed. Years ago, we used to live up the road from where we live now. A kind soul, kind couple allowed us to live there. And I mean, we rented their apartment, but just it really helped us in our life. And they were a blessing and encouragement to us. And he was always starting projects, but never finishing them. And his wife would get on him, and she'd be like, "Chap, why? Well, I need you to finish what you're doing." And he says, "But if I finish everything, I'll have nothing to do tomorrow." Because he was retired. He had nothing. I mean, he would build airplanes. He would build greenhouses and barns. And they would just. But it was always, they were always like 90% done. Nothing was done. Hey, with Jesus, it's done. Salvation is done. Hey, we're celebrating the complete work of Christ. There's nothing more, there's nothing else to do. It affirms our faith. We celebrate the completed work of Christ. But look at what else. Go to, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. I want to draw your attention to this phrase that shows up so many times. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 17, there's a focus on unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Did I say 17? It's verse 17. Yeah, I got it, Mrs. Rice. Thanks. "As we come together in unity..." Unbelievable. Where was I? Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Look at this phrase. "That ye come together." Look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians 11, 18. "First of all, when ye come together in the church." Look at verse 20. "When ye come together, therefore, into one place." Look at verse 33. "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat." Sounds like the Lord's Supper brings believers together. Hey, I'm glad you're here tonight. There's a remembrance, a reminder to unify underneath something much greater than you, any one individual here. That's what the Lord has done in our life. That's how a guy that got saved 65 years ago, we can fellowship together. I love going over to the Bear's house. You sit down and here's what you do. You just ask Brother Bear, "What have you been reading?" The man loves to study and he loves to read. And you can have a great conversation about the things of God. How is that? We have a unity in Christ. We participate in that. Hey, are you looking to preach a little few weeks ago about blessed are the peacemakers? Are you looking to make peace? Are you bringing about unity? Are you focused on unity? You know what? The church in Corinth, they had some problems. He had to fix some things. They weren't unified, and this was a great thing to bring people together. To participate, to affirm our faith, to celebrate the completed work of Christ, to focus on unity, to announce that Jesus is the way. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the only way. These elements here remind us it was the blood and the body of Christ. That is the only way of salvation. There's no other way. Well, you just call it a little something different. No, there's only one way. Jesus says he's it. That's it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Go there. Acts 4:12. We're almost done. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name you can call upon for salvation, and that's Jesus. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 24. John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Hey, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sins? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone? If not, you will die in your sins. That will be the worst decision that you can make. Hey, I've made some bad decisions in my life, and maybe you can fix those. You can't undo that. When you get to the end and say, you know what? I think I've made a terrible mistake. Yeah, well, faith is required for salvation. And when you're looking into the eyes of Jesus now, no longer faith. That time has passed. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today. Let's read that verse again in verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That verse kind of reminds me of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. A repetition verse. Go there, 1 John 5:13. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's the positive side of John 5:24. Hey, you die in your sins, you've denied Christ, you'll die in your sins. But, 1 John 5:13, believe on the name of the Son of God, you'll be granted eternal life for those that believe on the name of the Son of God. Isn't it good to know? Hey, do you know for sure? I talk to a lot of people, when I bring up salvation, they answer with this. Nate, they say this, I hope so. Yeah. Hey, do you know for sure that heaven will be your home someday? Well, I hope so. Meaning, I'm really banking on my merits to get me there. No. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. And then you can know that you have eternal life. And what a great relief. What a great relief. There's a lot of young people these days walking these streets, driving these roads, not knowing where they'll spend eternity. And they have anxiety and depression, and they don't know their purpose. They don't know what's going on in their life. Why? Because they don't know that they have eternal life. They don't know that they've been created with a purpose, and that God loves them, and that they're special just the way they are. Man. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In verse 5, what does the Lord's Supper do? It allows us to participate in this announcement. Jesus is the only way. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We sang that song tonight about the gulf that was spanned by the cross. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That he could cross us from the eternal damnation of hell and simply cross the bridge of the cross and be given eternal life. There's only one way. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, in our participation, go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In verse 28, it says this. Well, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself. How else do we participate? By examining ourselves. Examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, it's good. It is good for us to take this time seriously and examine ourselves and ask God, God, will you give me a once over here? Will you reveal to me where things aren't right between me and you? Say, I don't like that. That doesn't sound good. That's like asking for a test, and I don't like tests. Don't you think it's important to keep right with God? Amen. And if this moment here, sure, it'll help us remember what Christ did. It's exciting to think about what's coming, but it allows us to participate. To announce that Jesus is the way, to focus in on unity, to celebrate the completed work of Christ, but very important, a time of personal examination. God, is there something off between me and thee? That's really important. So that's what we'll do now. We're going to take a few moments and we're going to open up the altars. You can pray at your seat. Before we go any further, I'm just going to have a time of prayer where you can talk to the Lord. In a few moments, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Anybody can participate if you're saved and baptized. You don't have to be a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church. You just got to be saved and baptized. For what's the point of taking the elements if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? But it also talks about taking it unworthily. Hey, examine your heart. If God is working on something in your heart and you're like, I don't want to deal with that, I wouldn't take that. Why? Because the very thing that he died for, sin in your life, you're allowing just to stay, and it seems kind of contradictory. So be open and honest with the Lord. In a moment, we will participate in the Lord's Supper. And we will take these things, and we'll think about these things, and we'll remember those things, and we'll anticipate his return. But right now, let's take a few moments in the quietness of our own heart to pray and talk to the Lord and examine ourselves. Hey, judge yourself. Why not? Why would I do that? So God doesn't have to. Ask him. Be honest. Say, God, what's in my life that shouldn't be? I'll ask you straight up. Are you saved? Do you know for sure? So I don't know that for sure. Then let's talk after service. Pass on this. Let's talk after service. Come up to me. I'd be honored to show you what the Scripture says. Hey, being saved is a real relationship with the God of heaven. It's not religion. It's a personal walk with God. If you're not for sure, get that settled tonight. Christian, if there's something in your life, examine your heart. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. God knows you're a sinner. Just get clean is what he wants. It'll make this time that much sweeter. Let's take a few moments in prayer.
I would like at this time to invite our deacons up and Mrs. Huber to the piano, please. Our deacons will help distribute the elements. We will start with the bread. Once they distribute that, we'll read a passage of Scripture, give thanks, and then we'll partake together. So, again, if you're saved and baptized, please feel free. This is a special time. This is something that we can celebrate together. So, gentlemen, please, as you can. There's nothing magical about the piece of bread that you hold in your hand. But the power of this moment is when we consider the Lord and all he did for us. To remember that. Jay Kopaczewski, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse 19, it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Thank you, gentlemen. Let's stand and sing a song. How about "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul"? Brother Hodges, you know that one? Yeah, all right, good. Sing it out nice and loud.
"Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me that great salvation so rich and free."
And we're coming up on a lot of holidays, but there's something special about celebrating what the Lord did for us on the cross. So thankful, so thankful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we've prayed a lot. We've spoken to you a lot. God, Lord, the things that you spoke to our heart about, God, I pray that we would be attentive and move on those things. Thank you for inviting us to participate in this. Lord, help us to not forget. Lord, help us to continue to anticipate your return. Until then, help us to be found faithful. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.